Excuse me. Hey, boys. Yeah, you. Yeah. Got something to say? Share it with the whole class.
Welcome to the Back of the Class, a guide to education from the kids at the back of the class. Each one of us, each week, one of us brings a topic to discuss. This week, it's my turn. We spend about 20 minutes trying to focus on specific solutions to the problems that topic brings, and then we spitball. That's the part of the show where the two people who didn't bring the material get to lay into the person who did. As always, I'm Patrick O'Shea, an assistant professor of instructional technology at Appalachian State University. Joining me this week in place of Simon, who's in the field, is Mark Salata, who is a Mark is a science education consultant and the CEO of Mining Gems. Anyone who's interested in that can ask him what it means. And also, as always, Daniel Curry Corcoran, a man who really knows how to grow orchids.
Yeah, thanks, man.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
You know, I have orchids from people's weddings that have actually lived longer than the couple's marriage. Isn't that sad?
Oh, ouch.
Sad but true. It blooms every year during the wedding, too.
Nice.
Keep love alive, man. Keep love alive.
Keep love alive. There's always hope. Where there's an orchid, there's hope.
All right. All right. As I said, today I get to bring the topic for the discussion. And so I'm really interested in hearing what these two jokers have to say about this topic. The article I found is on...
We have more guests?
Wait a minute.
We have more guests? Where are they?
No. Two jokers present and accounted for.
Let's watch the term article. Cup.
It's a CNN article. What do you want to say? An article found on CNN.com, and it's a story about a Florida state representative named Kelly Stargell, I guess. I don't know if it's would it be Stargell?
I think so. Who
has introduced a bill that would require kindergarten through third grade teachers to grade parents. Now, parents would receive a grade of satisfactory, unsatisfactory, or needs improvement, and we'll just parenthetically we'll disregard the murkiness of how those last two marks differ, but they would receive these marks depending on how well their child or children are prepared for their educational experiences. I have a couple of thoughts on this, but I'd like to turn it over to you guys to see what you think. So,
I was really just disappointed that there was no above average. I really wanted to see the above average parent.
Just so you could reach that goal?
I want to get a bumper sticker for my car.
I'm an above average parent.
Needs improvement.
The driver of this car is a superstar at the elementary school.
My parent would kick your parent's ass. How about that?
Exactly.
There you go.
All right, go ahead, Danny. Give me your thoughts. What do you think?
Me first? All right. Well, in general, I think talking about the larger, larger issue of holding parents accountable. I mean, we've talked a lot about this, I think, on the program, maybe as an aside, but the idea of, you know, having a larger sense of community when we get to schools. But, do you want to talk specifically about this bill or just the larger issue? Well, the larger issue, I really think it's a good idea. I mean, holding parents accountable. I mean, I remember reading a few years ago, and I'm going to put that in the last, 5 to 10 years, that, you know, there were some judges that were holding parents accountable for if kids were absent, like chronically absent. I think you had to pay a fine of $500 or something. I think something like that's a good idea. I mean, if you're a parent, your son or daughter is chronically absent from school, you should have to go to court. I think the problem with that is it says, you know, the court docket was just getting so full of parents whose kids were delinquently absent. It was going to take such a burden on the court's time and cost taxpayers a lot of money.
Yeah.
In general, I'm for holding parents accountable.
Yeah,
but
so let's
I think,
ignore that problem.
Yeah, exactly, right? This was kind of silly. I mean, it was the idea of, and I think I would always argue this, that I would rather keep lawmakers, not laws necessarily, but lawmakers out of the education field. I mean, we saw what happened when lawmakers and political candidates, got together and thought it was a good idea. We get No Child Left Behind. Now, argue that No Child Left Behind is very good in principle. The idea of making kids making schools accountable for kids, making sure no kids left behind, you know, great idea. But I think with any law, as it gets implemented and pushed down, it's never really implemented that well. And for this, I didn't really see it as accountability. I thought it was just kind of silly. You're going to give parents an unsatisfactory, and so what? I think one of the quotes that was in there was the guy said, if giving people bad marks made kids do better in school, I'd have a room full of A students. That was a great line. I mean, it was just a crack. So, I mean, here we're going to have, let's just say we have traditionally parents who disenfranchised from school. I mean, parents did not do well in school.
Right.
So therefore, they're working two jobs, let's just say. And then what happens is I think they were grading the kids on the amount of sleep they get. I mean, good gracious, my kids never get enough sleep, and we're trying to get them in bed every night. I would love to see how they're going to measure that. But so then now we have parents who have always gotten bad grades at school, and now we're going to give them
bad grades
as parents. It's just classic. It was a great, great idea.
What do you think, Mark? And keep it short.
Are you saying that because he's verbose or because I just went on?
Yeah, you just wandered.
Sorry.
Well, I think this actually is a wonderful bill that was put up by a well-informed state representative of District 64, Kelly Stargell. I think it will really phenomenally change education as we know today. The grading of parents.
Are you imitating Simon being facetious or?
No. Let me go on.
He's trying to see if he can actually make the sarcasm drip out of people's earphones.
Now, here. I mean, the proposal, it was listed, the bullet points of what the parents would be graded on. I think it's perfectly fine. It's parents' communication. Child's attendance.
It's a one-way street, of course.
Of course. Child's attendance. Child's homework and test prep, and child's physical preparation for school. Now, who can argue with that? I mean, these are things that we would love to have. And, you know, if you give grades to this, people will just wake up, smell the coffee, and go, you know what, I'm really underperforming here as a parent. I think I should do better.
You need to step up. Right?
And I really think they should expand this, not just to parents, but really they should do this to government representatives, especially at the state level. and pretty much, you know, if you're going down the grocery store, if I'm waiting in line, I should be able to give a grade to the clerk. Don't you think?
I do.
And then we can just have everything graded, because, you know, if we grade something, we're going to have a high level of achievement.
Yeah,
and we're just going to excel, and we're going to overtake China and India by far.
But then we'll need standards for everything.
No. You don't need standards. You just give them a grade. It doesn't matter what the meaning is behind the grade. It's just a grade. Just give it to them.
You know, the best part is that the best grade you can get is a C, satisfactory.
Wasn't that what we got in graduate school?
Some of us.
No, some of us.
Hey, now seriously, here's the thing.
I'm sorry. This is bad.
Seriously,
we've talked a lot during the history of this podcast of trying to hold people accountable for different things.
Yes.
And you know, do I think that this particular solution is right? No, I don't. But I'm glad that people are that at least someone is starting to try to think about making this whole education process a two-way street rather than a one-way street.
Yeah, but they're not really. I mean, it's just a horrible proposal. You get horrible proposals out there from legislators, and then people think it's a joke.
Danny, wait a minute. Her, listen, she's a committee. She's the chair of the K-20 Innovation Subcommittee. She's on the education committee, the higher education appropriation subcommittee, the pre-K-12 appropriation subcommittee. So she must know something about education. But of course, if you look at her background,
full biography on this woman.
Well, hey, if you look at her background,
what is your prep time for this podcast?
Did you go on Wikipedia?
That's incredible.
All you got to do is wiki. It takes 1 minute.
Yeah, I wrote all of that about her.
Now, listen, her occupation, she really deserves to be on all these education committees. Her occupation was an investment property manager. And you know better than I that an investment property manager is way above board on, you know,
We can all agree that lawmakers should probably not be doing this. But, I mean, to get to I agree. I think parents should be accountable for kids. What can we hold parents accountable for?
Well, then let me ask the question this way, all right? Because since we all seem, Mark's sarcasm notwithstanding, we all seem on board with the idea that this is a bad implementation of a good concept, at least, holding parents accountable.
Yes. Well, hopefully it won't get implemented.
Well, let me ask this to you guys then, all right? What exactly would you propose instead?
That's equally stupid?
No, what's a good solution to this problem?
Okay. Let's think about this. Okay, let's say, should a parent be held accountable if your son or daughter runs away? Should you be accountable for that?
Are you asking this, or are you just...
No, I'm kind of asking it, because, I mean, where does it stop? I'm not really sure. I think the idea of what parents can be accountable for is you got to have... I think the issue is if you're going to measure it, you got to actually define what it is. So the idea is we're going to hold parents accountable. Well, what can you actually hold parents accountable for? If your son or daughter runs away, are you accountable? Do you go to jail for that?
It depends. If I beat them and that's why they run away, I would hope that I would be accountable for that.
Okay, so let's say you have a 16-year-old.
Context matters here. That's the thing.
Context definitely matters.
And by the way, I don't beat my kids, so... Just in case, that's my little asterisk. Patrick does not beat his children.
Let me throw a curveball.
Let it be stipulated.
Let me throw you a curveball. All right. Now we're talking about the motivation is trying to get parents involved. I can argue that it's completely not that at all.
What?
The motivation for this bill is to allow teachers to be able to correlate the bad scores that they're getting for standardized exams with unsatisfactory support from parents so that they possibly can argue that those scores shouldn't be counted.
Well, great. We can say this law is bad, but, I mean, what about the larger issue of holding parents accountable?
And I agree with you. Accountable for what? Accountable that they send their kids to school.
I'm still waiting to hear a positive solution to this rather than a negative solution.
You mean a punitive solution?
Well, yeah.
It's not a negative. What do you mean a negative solution?
That
wouldn't be a solution, dude.
I think a punitive solution, right? Okay.
Lay off the wine, brother.
What I'm saying is that, in this case, it appears we're trying to, I don't know, scare parents into participating. Is that it?
Okay.
Are we trying to guilt them into participating? What's the point?
The practical moralism or whatever we were doing last week? They should just want to do it. There we go. There's the solution.
Yes, and I will say the same thing as I said last week. If wishes were ponies, then we'd all ride to work. Okay?
Did you actually say that last week?
I think I called them.
No, he didn't say that exactly.
I don't remember.
He was in a drunken stupor. He couldn't have said that.
Yes, I was.
It's too poetic. Hey, speaking about that, Yelush, how would you nudge them since you were so supportive of that book last week? I'm sure the sales got a bump last week.
From our
poor followers.
The back of the class bump.
Yeah. Here's what
how would you nudge them?
What I would do is I would look for ways to motivate them to be involved, but without being punitive about it. All right.
Yep.
I guess what it comes down to is you have to give people a reason to be involved. All right.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, schools aren't very good at giving people a reason to come in and help or to communicate. And they're not very good at the idea or the form of that. Now, let me admit something here. I'm not the most, you know, I'm not in touch with my kid, my son's teacher on a daily basis.
Unsatisfactory.
I prefer to think of myself as needing improvement.
Sure, but, whatever you work with.
But I would look for rewards for parental participation. All right?
Mm-hmm.
I would look
the truth about what motivates us.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, we aren't going to get we're not going to get many parents participating if we keep hammering them over the head with unsatisfactory grades. And quite honestly, the whole thing's a crock, because which teacher in their right mind who wants a parent's participation is going to say that, at least without some kind of a sit down with the parents. A sit down
it makes for an uncomfortable parent-teacher conference, that's for sure.
Well, that's assuming that the parents actually show up. come to talk with me or you will get an unsatisfactory mark.
What the hell? You give me an unsatisfactory here. You're not talking about the kid anymore. I ain't arguing about your grade.
Yeah, they're guaranteed to show up for that.
Well, I see. I don't know. I would do whatever tactics would be to facilitate communication between the parents and the teacher on a regular basis, such that they both understand where they're coming from. They understand the challenges, the struggles that they have, and actually be able to have a positive communication about what's best for the child.
Don't we do that now?
What's that?
Don't we do that now?
Well, if we do that now, then what the hell? Then there's your solution. All right, we're done.
Problem is, I mean, if you recall, they call the parents, they email, give them a phone call. Hey, Johnny's doing well. Send this letter home. I mean, the problem is that, you know, the student still comes tired to school. I mean, I think one of the things that we're talking about, and I think Pat kind of alluded to it, which made me think, is getting back to that idea. I think the idea that we did, I think it was Daniel Pink, the idea of the RSA Animate video and the truth about what motivates us, how, you know, giving monetary rewards to people might not be the best way. You give a monetary reward to somebody, that's positive, and it's punitive to somebody else. So, I mean, you kind of got the double-edged sword there, two sides of the sword, whatever I'm getting at. I mean, I think getting back to it, one of the things I think we've talked about in the past on one podcast or another is the idea of maybe we're looking at the structure of schools. I mean, we as educators tend to be very closed off. I mean, what happens in the school building is our business. You know, it's got a principal, it's got an administrative team, it's got teachers. A lot of times we don't do a good job, I think maybe what Pat was alluding to, of getting parents involved in the school, getting them involved in the makeup of the school and the rules that are made. I mean, we have PTAs, but it's, you know, that's basically relegated to small fundraisers and things like that. But maybe that's a different way of getting people motivated. If you have more say in the school, if parents are able to come in and actually dialogue and make a difference, maybe that's a way to change it. Give them some more responsibility, not just PTA meetings to go to make it this facade that we're doing something.
Here's another thing that I think would really help in kind of closing this gap. I think that one of the
parental achievement gap.
Yes, that's great. No parent left behind.
No parent.
Okay.
I think that one of the major issues is that parents, there's a power dynamic that happens between teachers and parents. Whether teachers intend it to happen or not, parents, I mean, let's be honest, the parents who are at most at the biggest risk of being unsatisfactory are probably parents that didn't do very well in school themselves. So this kind of process, this giving them grades, is not going to help very much. What will help is helping them understand how to become a consumer of an educational process. Help them understand the vocabulary that teachers may be using when they talk about things.
Are you promoting your book?
Well,
maybe.
My book has yet to be published, so there's not really anything to promote.
Really?
But the concept is sound. The idea that seriously, think about it in terms of how do
we're going to be giving parents like jargon classes to talk with their teachers?
No,
hey, we can't speak to you, so let's teach you how to speak to us.
No, listen, educational edu-speak is used to either enlighten the conversation or to create a barrier between the teacher and the parents. If the parent really doesn't want to deal with the teacher, or if the teacher doesn't really want to deal with a parent, they can make all kinds of edu-speak kind of things. They can talk about formative and summative evaluations and what their rubrics look like and all of these other things that parents are going to be like, what are you talking about? Speak English to me. And so if we help the parents kind of understand what the teacher is saying, then in essence, it's trying to even out that power dynamic, make them partners rather than a hierarchy.
So do you want to open up the school and have workshops for parents, or do you want to send some information back home with the parents to invite them and expand the community? What do you want to do?
Yes.
Well, let me get to that. Let's get back to the relationship. Here we go. This is a perfect segue. Good job, Patrick. Very nicely done.
If we could just love our parents more.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Listen, no, but I mean, it is about relationships. I mean, when I go to talk to my daughter's teachers, I mean, I'm fairly well educated. I've attended the finest universities, and I am still hit with.
You went to one that was only so-so.
This is true. Let's go through this. You know, my daughter's, correspondence journal, and there's so much that they want to hit with me. Go over the summative evaluation. This is how she did on her PALS test, her quarterly benchmark. She's reading on grade level. I've been in there 20 minutes, and I've been hit with about 70 edu-speak terms. You know what? I think it might be a lot because, you know, they see me once in 9 weeks or even once a semester.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What if they knew me more or, you know, they – kind of, it gets back to some of what we talked about in the old the destruction of the American child, and that, you know, kids aren't building these relationships with caregivers. Well, we're not really building relationships mm-hmm. with our teachers to understand, you know, to kind of have a frontal attack on our, you know, to be able to really focus on what's wrong with the student. We spend so much time doing quick diagnosis that we don't have any time to really get to actually figure out what's happening. And sometimes that relationship comes very controversial because, you know, if you would just get them to bed on time, I'd be able to teach them.
Yeah.
I want to suggest something. We have some families coming over to our house for educational purposes, for virtues.
Oh, Mana's teaching.
Man, can I reach through this?
Mana's doing the instruction. I love what you just said there. Parents are coming to our house so we can train them on virtues.
No. My point is this: is that we built us an extended family with about 10 other families that we knew nothing about beforehand. And the way we did it is we actually had the kids and the parents get together, and after our little virtues lesson session with all of them together doing stuff together, we actually have just one big potluck dinner. And the kids are off and playing, and the parents are getting to learn more about each other and know things about each other. And one idea would be to open up the doors of the school as a community center, if you will, and have a regular parent, teacher, administration dinners, getting to know each other, but not necessarily talking about with EduSpeak and all that.
I think somebody on this podcast has recommended that. Think.
Who's that?
I don't know. Let's go back and look at the tapes.
Oh, you recommended that on a previous podcast?
I don't know. It sounds familiar.
Listen, what this all comes down to is that we have to find positive ways to reward parents and not make every interaction between parents and teachers business.
Exactly. Yep.
All right. That's what it comes
down to. Unless we have better relationships, you can't do it.
Absolutely.
You need to build community.
Absolutely.
So, but what better way to build community than to give out grades?
Your grass is greener than mine.
Dude, you stop off. You stop at the 7-Eleven. You know, you pump, put some gas in there. You pay for it and say, hey, you know what? I think that was satisfactory.
Pretty.
This guy's rolling.
Pretty soon we'll have parents taking accelerated reader tests, all kinds of things.
And the gifted, great. And the gifted parents.
Yeah. My, you know, from reading this article though, it's just, you know, they talk a lot about, you know, the terrible shooting that happened in Arizona, and they talk about all this political discourse getting so divisive. Mm. When you have a legislator propose a law that is this ridiculous, and it makes CNN, that's a little frightening that the American public is kind of eating this stuff up as like, oh, this is good news. I mean, this is a legislator trying to, you know, kind of what's next for the punitive system we really created in education, you know, with No Child Left Behind and how punitive it is and holding people accountable. I mean, it's just getting, it's getting ludicrous.
It's absolutely getting ludicrous.
Well, if the parents are labeled, they're not proficient, does that mean we can somehow close down their house?
I don't think it meant anything. I just think they were going to get it on the, it was going to go on. And the funny thing is, it's going to go on the kids' record.
Yeah.
It's going to go on the kids' record, so the kids going to be able to be an adult and look back and be in a fight with their mom and dad when they're 20 and the mom's 40. See, you were always unsatisfactory.
Yes. I didn't get into Harvard because you needed
you were unsatisfactory.
Do the kids get a My Parents Suck sticker?
To put on their bike.
They get a My Parents Sucks pass. And if your parents sucks, maybe you get into college for free. Maybe that's how we do it.
There you go. That sounds great.
Hey, well, anyway, it's now 26 minutes into our conversation. I could turn it over now if you guys want to spitball a little bit, but it seems like this whole thing has been a spitball.
I don't think so. You know, I'm actually going to focus more on spitballing the issue and not spitballing the idiot that brings the article because...
Dude,
yeah. Gracious.
Wait, attack what's brought, not the person?
This is a great topic of conversation. Tell me this is not a great topic for a conversation.
Exactly. That's why I don't mean it was that. I appreciate that.
Okay, good. Beautiful.
My thing is, I'm going to have to agree with you, and that this idea of just continuing down this punitive road, I'm not really sure where it goes, other than, you know, we're at the lowest common denominator other than just blaming everything on the kids. I mean, you know, the high school teachers blame the middle school teachers blame the elementary teachers blame the kindergarten, the preschool teachers blame the parents, and finally we're just going to say, you know, it's genetics, you're just an idiot, nothing I can do for you.
I'm just going to start walking around with gold stars and silver stars and a reject stamp. So when I see people, I'll just stick a gold star on them. You know, that's satisfactory, needs more work, and, you know, forget it, you're over.
You know, that's really funny. That'd be a great experiment. Just go around and rate people every day, but don't tell them what you're doing. Just give them colored stars.
Yeah. I think I'll do that.
Videotape it, and we'll put it up on the wall.
You know, people walking by in the hall. You know, I like the way you walk. Gold star.
Invariably, that will end up with you in the hospital rating your doctors.
There you go. But
you
continue going. You continue filming.
Yep. All right.
Well, is that the end of your spitball, Daniel?
Yeah. I mean, I think in general, I agree with that. We need to hold people accountable. I think it gets to the larger issue of it's not really, I don't agree with the punitive nature, but unless we start building better communities and better relationships among people involved in the education of children so that they're working together, we're just going to keep attacking. And you know what? It's not going to do kids any good. So,
how about you, Mark? What do you say?
I say, CEO. I say bring everybody together, hold hands in a circle, and sing songs.
If I hear Kumbaya from your lips.
He's got it recorded. I'm sure it's on standby, bro.
No, come on.
He's got it on his iPod.
He's Googling it right now. He's Googling it right now.
Let peace begin with me. No. What? No. It basically, it's simply a bad idea.
Yes.
And it's, oh my God, It almost seems like a middle school student, or I wouldn't even want to insult a middle school student that came up with that idea.
This right here, for me, is not only a bad idea, it is everything that is wrong with the way we approach education. Mm. We try to motivate people through fear rather than through any sense of purpose, any sense of mastery, any of that stuff. Yep. The stuff that was in that RSA Animate that talks about why people become, you know, motivated to do things, we don't involve any of that stuff. We depend entirely on telling people what they're doing wrong, and they better shape up. And it shows a tremendous lack of insight into not only education, but human psychology as well.
There
is no way that this is anything but a huge fiasco waiting to happen if it were to actually get implemented. There's no way.
Well, as CEO of Mining Gems that you definitely brought up.
You're welcome.
MiningGems.com.
Yes.
Yeah, no, MiningGems.org.
.org.
No, but our purpose is to transform human relations to be positive, creative, and collaborative by mining the gems within. This smacks of
Where'd
being
you get that
total.
From? Beautiful.
Thank you. It's totally opposite. It's neither positive, creative, nor collaborative, and it doesn't take into account any of the gems that are in the parents, the students, the teachers, or the administrators. Just flat out wrong.
Sounds all new agey to me. So with that,
it is the age of Aquarius.
I want to thank all those people who have decided to follow us. We're drawing this show to
are we
a
up
close.
To two?
We're drawing this show to a close. As always, we can be found on iTunes by searching for The Back of the Class, and we can be reached via email at thebackoftheclass@yahoo.com. Also, we've got the blog, thebackoftheclass.blogspot.com. That's where we'll be linking all of the things we talk about in this show.
And Simon, where are you? Yes. Where are you, Simon?
Yes, Simon. Simon will be back. I don't know if it'll be next week or the following, but he'll be back eventually.
I'll go out in the field and start looking for him. Yes. I'll send a report out.
So, as always, I'd like to thank the kids at the back of the class for their input.
Thank you.
Daniel, Mark,
thanks
for being here. All right.
Take care, Dan.
Bye.
See you next week.